How to bring your future into now. It's your future and it's our future. It's all of our futures together. God is a God who reveals himself. And he speaks forth what he's going to do before he does it. Did you see this all the way through the scriptures? That he lets people know what he's intending to do so they'll know what to pray about, what to look forward to, how to be prepared. And that's what the prophetic is all about. And I'm wondering how much, I know we have newer folks in the church that wouldn't be aware of our past and some of the things that God has been so wonderful to bring us through. But God called us here to a particular purpose that he had. It wasn't just so we could be a church and help people and to do good things for people, all of these we want to do, but it was for a purpose and for his vision. And in 1971, I received the first prophetic word that I ever received. After that, they became numerous, both to me and to this church. I have folders full of them. I spent the last couple of 3 days looking again at our prophetic words and praying over them, because prophecies that are of God is the church's future. This is not something to wish for or hope for. God has said it. And did you know that in one of Heidi Baker's prophetic words, she made the statement, "Every promise that is of God that has come over this house will come to pass. Do not forget the promises. Do not forget the promises." The enemy wants you to forget the promises, and he wants you to get stuck in the presence. And he sometimes wants you to moan about the past. But don't worry about the past. You can't go and pick that up again and beside that. This is now. This is today. And our future is as bright as the promises of God. In 1971, the first time I ever really heard anybody bring a prophetic word, it was from my first mentor, Vanita Mack. And here's what she said. And this is about 3 or 4 years before Shekinah. I just barely got saved in time to start Shekinah. It wasn't very long after that God gave the vision of what he wanted here. But just giving you a few little lines out of these prophetic words. The promises spoken have absolutely come to pass and are not exaggerations. These that are in the past that I will share with you have already come to pass. The last line in the prophecy from Vanita Mack said, "For truly I've chosen and anointed you, and you shall be my handmaiden unto this day." I didn't exactly know what a handmaiden was, but it sounded pretty good to me. And then Robert Tom, he's very famous in other countries. He's a well-known miracle ministry. He came in 1974 in the barn loft. And he said, "The Lord thy God shall send you across the borders of this nation," which has happened many times. "And you shall speak words to the masses and many nations, and the people will be blessed." But God is pushing you out into a bigger ministry. So here comes another word to say what the next step is. "And you're thinking on foreign lands, and you know it's got to be done. The Lord says, get ready and believe you're ready to travel. You will come and go and come, and I will give you a great harvest." Then in 1975, David Minor, who is John Jimenez's pastor, came here to the church and stood in the sanctuary. There were some people here, and he said, "I want to speak to the pastor of this house." And so he said, "I'll be back tomorrow. Would you ask her if she'll meet me here?" That's an interesting way, isn't it, to get a prophetic word. And here is the gist of what his prophecy said. "Preach the word that I've given you. Be careful to preach all that is in your heart. Your teaching will cause a great stir around you, and many shall come and stand by your side. I will send those who will be responsible in the work, and they will help you." Thank God for that word. Because the things that God's called us to do, he also must send help and the finances to get it done. And then he ended with this, "And now I say to you, print the word, print the word, print the word." And he said that 8 or 9 times. And I think that's about the number of books I have written now. 8 or 9, something like that. One book is a cheaty book, so I don't really count that in case the angels are listening. It's a book where they call and ask permission to put a chapter out of one of my books in it. It's called Prayer Changes Things. And it's got other authors in it. Actually, it sells really well. Get me some with some other authors and we can do some things, what that means. But Tinus Trigart came from Africa in 1975. And he let us know that the Lord is going to expand what he has begun. And he said, the Lord's given to thee more responsibility and a heavier load to carry. And he will extend the vision, but do not be afraid, for the Lord shall give the means and the Lord shall give strength. Even tonight, the Lord is adding an unction to your life. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, the New Testament, the scripture says that New Testament prophecy is for three things: edification, exhortation, and comfort. New Testament prophecy is not to warn and threaten you within an inch of your life. New Testament prophecy, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, is for edification, that is, to build you up, exhortation, that is, to declare things, edification, exhortation, and comfort. And these words were so comforting because they located us where we were so we'd know how to take the next steps. So, the scriptures talks in the Old Testament about the sons of Iddo, and it says they prospered by the prophesying of the prophets. I feel sorry for churches that haven't begun to move in the prophetic, because there's much more profiting and prospering that can come when people move in the realm of prophecy. Because the true prophetic word is very powerful. That there are two stages of the process. One is to foretell, and the other is to forthtell. To foretell a prophecy means to declare what God has said, to bring it as a prophetic word. But forthtelling is when we declare on that word, it shall come to pass. And we give proclamations, and we begin to decree that word, and we say, let it be done according to the word, the prophetic word of the Lord. So foretelling predicts what the future will be, but forthtelling calls it into being. Does everybody see the difference? Foretelling says this is what God wants to do, but forthtelling is the voice that declares, it is being done, it shall be done, I decree it, I declare it. And that's believing the word of God. That's why in our prayer meetings, we're not just giving God a want list and telling him what he ought to do for us next. A part of our praying is that we declare and we forthtell the prophetic words that have come over us as individuals and as a church. And in declaring them, we are building the purpose of God. Biblically speaking, when God's getting ready to do a work, he calls a person, then often he will send a prophet to confirm the word or expand it. Now that's what happened here. And to anoint the person who was called. The anointing represents the Holy Ghost unction to provide the supernatural power that work can be done. And that's what God has been faithful to do here. This is how he has caused this work to come into being. I was talking with someone a while back, and they said, well, we don't know. We just thought maybe we should start a church, but we didn't know for sure, and we just decided to just jump out and see what Jesus would do. Well, you can do that. But it works a lot better if you have a word from God. You need to know, does he want you to start a church? And where does he want you to start it? And what is to be the vision of that house? But we do understand these days that a lot of people just start churches. It's a thing that just happens. And a lot of churches open and close. We've been here for, I don't know, 43 years. The devil is very sad to hear this, because he's had many ideas of how he could keep the work from continuing, but he's never been able to be successful. And maybe we can say amen to that. So, I want to talk to you today about getting God's promise out of the future and into now. I don't want us to be a church that's always looking toward what God's going to do. I want us to be active right now today and be activating ourselves in prayer and in the prophetic and releasing our faith to actually reach out and take that which has been given to us as a future thing and get hold of that thing and bring it into the now. Because that's what we've done through the years. And we would look at each other at different times and we'd say, but the Lord said that we were going to do thus and so. But the prophet said we were going to do thus and so. And it's been such a great encouragement through the years. You see, those prophetic words that we've had through all of these years, starting right in the very beginning, so many of them have come to pass exactly. And then there are those that we are looking forward to that will be coming to pass because of the word of the Lord that God has spoken. When God gave me the vision about this church, then through the years, He sent the prophets to confirm and to enlarge that vision. When you know what God plans to do, then you know how to pray accurately. But lack of faith or lack of prayer can derail the prophetic intention or set it back indefinitely. Did you get that? If the church doesn't pray, if it doesn't release its faith and really believe that these things are going to come to pass, you can set it back for a while or indefinitely. For example, the Israelites. He told them all about the promised land. He told them exactly what was going to happen. He gave them a leader. He told Moses what he was going to do. What should have taken 11 days journey, still 40 years later, they still hadn't got there. Only two, Caleb and Joshua, finally went in. Why? Because of disobedience and unbelief. So the prophetic doesn't mean that God's going to make it happen no matter how crazy we live. The prophetic means the preferred vision of God. For the person or for the house. This is His plan. This is what He has for His people. But we have a part, and God wants to engage us in bringing that thing into being. Recently in prayer, I was asking the Lord for some things that we need to fulfill the vision that God has given us. Things like finances to extend outreach and to reach into the nations, and also something very important, that He'd continue to add to the church people who choose to be world changers. We're believing that God is going to continue to give us people that want to do something with their lives and want to do something beautiful for God, not just people that are surfing the churches to see what they can find this week, but actually looking for a place where you can be a part of something that God has ordained. And the Holy Spirit spoke something very clear to me. He said, get it where you've always gotten it, supernaturally. The finances, the people, everything you need. And then He said to me, don't look to man, do it my way. You know, the scripture says the Lord does nothing but what He reveals it through His servants, the prophets. God wants to reveal to us what He wants to do. It's our part to believe that word, to pray it into being, and then get ourselves set so that we walk into that plan. There are many prophetic words over this house that have been fulfilled, but we still have others to bring out of the future into the present. The prophetic words of the church are our future. This will be our answer as to how we'll supernaturally receive from God everything that we need to accomplish what He's called us to in the future. He wants us to pray and to position ourselves to bring the words that have been spoken into manifestation. You know, as recently as October 2010, Hattie Baker prophesied here, every promise over this house is going to be fulfilled. And she said, I believe this house is going to affect a region. She said, this house is going to be like a well. God is drilling deep and taking his body deeper still. The hungry are going to hear that there is fresh bread in this house, and they're going to come to eat. Then she said, the very last time she was here, she prophesied that we were a church of legacy, a church of mothers and fathers. The devil has a trick that he wants to turn. Because we live in a generation that's enamored with youth culture, nation, the enemy's always trying to tell you that if you're over 25, you're not worth anything. Actually, to tell you the truth, I was over 25 when I started this work. I was more like around 30. You have to have some issue of wisdom before you can start a church. You know that. You can't just up and do these kind of things. But the Lord wanted us to know that we are a house of mothers and fathers, that there are many people here who have been trained and brought up in this house, and you have much to give to other people. In fact, this is why God has put so much into you. It's not just so you can try to stay saved and hope you can make it to heaven. Of course you can make it to heaven. You can make it to heaven by every morning getting up and praying what you believe and pleading the blood of Jesus and worshiping him. He's going to keep you. It's not about that. It's about pouring what you have into other people. This is what God has called us to. But she went on to say, this is a church of legacy, a church of mothers and fathers, and destinies will be fulfilled of individuals no matter what their age. And I don't want you to think that just because some of you are a little bit older, you're not 30 anymore, you're not 50 anymore. This has nothing to do with it. This is a lie of the culture. And I want you to be released to pour what you have into all kinds of people. She also made the statement, churches come and go. They rise and fall, but this church will go on burning brightly until Jesus returns. How many can say that's a good word? Churches do come and go. And there's a lot of that in our nation. It's almost like it's an experimental thing. I read somewhere something like 3,000 pastors a month leave the ministry. It's because pastoring's hard. And it's because there's a devil involved in it. And it's because the devil sometimes joins in with the flesh. And it brings pressures that are too hard for pastors to deal with. Unless God undergirds us, we're not able to do the thing. And in practical terms, it's been prophesied 3 times that there would be a school of ministry that would be rebuilt in this house. You know, we had one here on our property for 10 years, and a lot of people went into the nations from here. And when that happens, then there's automatically going to be many who will be sent to minister both in our nation and in the nations of this house. This is something that we need to believe into being. It's something we need to pray into being. We need to declare it and to proclaim it because it's already in the works anyway. This was prophesied by the Duncan Williams prophetic team around 2006. And more recently, it was prophesied by Carrie Kirkwood, who's a prophet that travels with Olin Griffin some, in a profound way that identified it with the time we're living in. I thought you'd like to hear just a few lines of that. He said, there's coming a generation that has never been taught, that has never been trained, and I'm going to send them into this place. This generation has not known the ways of the Lord, and they haven't understood about the presence of the Lord. The Lord is going to cause this place to be like a resource center where churches and places shall call for these to come. These that have been trained up in the house of the Lord and have been born in Zion. I preached recently on that. You will send them to the nation and to the nations. That will come in and they will come in and they will go out. I have written my name here. This is the prophetic word. And I have written my name here. And I shall cause that name to rise in a greater dimension. His name to rise in a greater dimension in this house. More than ever before. And you will be known for a house where the presence of the Lord continually stays and dwells. How many can say amen to that? There will be people that will come in just to spend the night to be under the presence and the glory. You know, to have the presence of God and the glorious moving of His Spirit is no small thing. And it's something that's bought through sacrifice and through faith and by worship in spirit and in truth. So I want to give you this thought and this understanding today. How can we get the prophecies activated that have been prophesied over this house? You know, apostolic faith is based on hearing from God, and we must have His Word to know how to believe. If you're going to believe something, you have to believe it according to the Word of God, not just according to what you want or what you would like to have. But I wanted to give you as an example of this kind of thing, Ezekiel 37. Remember this, Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, hip bones connected to the, you know that song. And I wonder how in the world we got all of these things inspired. By looking at the Word of God, that God can finally connect these bones together that have been dead, that have been separated. Only God can do that. Reading from Ezekiel 37, He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord, Thou knowest." Again He said to me, "Prophesy over these dry bones." Now what good is it going to do to prophesy over bones that are dry? Well, this is the way God works. He tells you to speak to the dead thing until it lives. He tells you to speak prophetically, to speak the life-giving Word of God over every bad situation, you know, and declare it is not that situation. It is what God is showing you by faith. That's what it is, to walk in faith and to speak in faith. Speak the things that God says He wants to do. Hear the Word of the Lord. By the way, it's not so unusual to speak to bones. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He spoke to the water. You know, you speak to inanimate objects. You speak to whatever needs to be spoken to bring that life. And the more you speak, the more the life of God comes forth. Then said the Lord unto these bones, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." So I prophesied. Why did He prophesy? Because God told him to prophesy. Now, there's been a fair amount of prophecy in the day we live in that is not of God. I've said this before. If people put prophecies online and they just don't come to pass, for example, who's going to be the president, this, that, and the other, they ought to also go online and say, "Oops, I missed it." You know, the least you can do is apologize, because God's not going to say anything and then forget that He said it. So we need to understand that prophetic words that really come from God are because God said that, and then the person prophesied. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, an earthquake, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. As he began to prophesy, the bones began to come together. You know, there's a lot of dead things. There's things that could be dead in your own life. There's dead things in your families. There's dead situations, people that are not alive to God, marriages that are falling apart. A lot of dead things. They need the life, the life-giving Word of God spoken over it. Don't look at it and say how bad it is. Look to God and declare what His Word says about that. Did you know that really the faith way to pray is to pray the answer, not the problem? It's to pray what God's promised, not the problem you see right now. There's no need to moan and groan about what you see. God knows that. I can see the angels saying, "Hey, they're giving you a report again, God." God knows. Lord, you know he's bad and he's been bad all his life. Forget it. Prophesy what God, speak what God says He's promised to do in that person's life. We were praying for Emily today. Emily's never done anything wrong that I know of. But let's say that she had. Then nobody's going to say, Lord, though this daughter has stumbled along the way and she's done this and she's done that, but Lord, you can do anything. That's not faith. Faith is, thank you, Lord, for what we see in her, for what her potential is, for what you have called her name, for what you said she's going to be. And we declare it, and we agree in Jesus' name. She shall go forth, and she shall do what you've called her to do. That releases and activates the prophetic word. You know, Victor, watching a prophet that visits, that ministers here, he had received the gift of the word of knowledge and the prophetic. But here was an amazing thing. It needed to be activated. I don't understand all of this. It was just flowing like a little trickle. And one day he went to a meeting where Duncan Williams was speaking. And Duncan Williams just reached over to him and said, I activate. You know how he talks? I activate. The word that has come over this man from this day, it is released. And bam, all heaven broke loose. So I'm just giving you examples to tell you today. We've got to start speaking in such a way that we release the things that God has already spoken. We're not just proclaiming or speaking blindly, but we're speaking what God has already prophesied that he wants to do in the house. The Lord showed Ezekiel this valley of dry bones, and after Ezekiel satisfied himself that it was the will of God to raise the dry bones, then he could speak it in faith. And you know, that our part in this, church, is engaging with God in the battle. We don't have a dichotomy where God's fighting the devil. You know, because the devil's nowhere near the size that God is. He's just one of the negative players in the universe. And so it's not a battle of trying to help God win over the devil. It's not really like that. I mean, the scripture says the day's going to come that one angel is going to go and bind him into the lake of fire. Just one. And Judson Cornwall said, and I bet it's a small one. The devil is nowhere near the size of God, but here's how it is. God has given the prophetic word, but we are to declare and believe and pray it into being. That is our part of how we engage in the battle. Well, what is the battle? Remember in Daniel chapter 10? For 3 weeks, Daniel continued to pray for the fulfilling of prophecy that was given through Jeremiah in chapter 25 and 29. Gabriel said, when he came to Daniel, he said, I heard you 21 days ago, but the prince of Persia hindered me from coming. This is a battle going on in another place, in another realm. The prince of Persia withstood the answer being brought, but Michael, your prince, another angel, an archangel, came and fought with Gabriel. So he got two archangels on your side, you're going to get it done. And they were being brought by Gabriel, so Michael came and fought for Daniel's prayer to be answered. True intercessory prophetic prayer has a word from God as to God's will and how we should pray. Why was Daniel withstood? Now let me tell you what our part is. Why God wants us to be engaged with him in the thing. It's not that he can't defeat the devil in 1 minute. He allows the devil. The devil can't do anything that is not ultimately allowed. God is the king of the universe. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. God is not trying to resist our prayer ever. Don't ever say, well, I'm trying to get God to do. It's not ever that God doesn't want to fulfill the promises. That's not what it is. He is changing us in our praying, and he's changing the things in the spirit that will make the giving of his answer possible. I'm going to say it again. Our intercession or our prayer is not God, it's not because God resists our prayer, but because he's changing us. and changing things in the Spirit that will make the giving of His answer possible. In other words, He's lining it up, and our engaging with Him makes it possible. The Scripture says we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ in the harvest. I want you to understand this thing about prayer. It's not just people coming to just keep on asking God to do things and maybe sometime He'll relent. You know, when we have our prayer meetings, it's not like that at all. We'll have a little time of worship where we invite the Holy Spirit to pray through us and to give us understanding of how to pray, all of these things. And then the Spirit Himself will begin to show us what to pray, how we should pray, and what we should pray for. And when we do this, a lot of time it's declaring and proclaiming. And there are certain things that we need to ask of God to receive, but we are declaring what God has said, and this is our part. What was Daniel saying for 21 days? Did he say the same thing over and over? What did he say? I don't know, but he stayed with it 21 days. And it shouldn't be that hard for us to pray 1 hour, right? It's a matter of worshiping God, calling on His name, making proclamations, declarations, loving Him, sometimes asking Him for things. See, it's just having a visit with God so that you are engaging with Him in what it is that we're expecting Him to do for us. Bill Johnson says, He disciplines us so His blessings won't kill us. Yeah, we have to come to a certain place sometimes before we're ready to receive what God wants to bring us. The Lord is wanting us to engage with Him concerning the promises He's made to us and see them come to pass. In Ezekiel 36, God made a tremendous promise to the Israelites. He promised that He would give them a new heart. And now, what if God gave you this promise? Wouldn't that be great? I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit, that He would save them from all uncleanness. And further, He said, I'll call for the corn, and I'll call for the increase, and I'll multiply the fruit of the trees, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine. I think that they must have thought, well, we'll just sit down here and wait for Him to do it. Did you ever know of any church people that ever did that? Did you ever do that? Okay, you said you're going to do that, God, well, go ahead and do that. Well, why wouldn't He? Now, this is as clear as can be. Verse 37, He said, but I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Let me put it in the vernacular. But I'm still waiting for them to come to me about it and require it of me. And engage with me in intercession and talk to me about it and have such a relationship with me that I can work on you and get you ready. And you will help me through your prayers to get the whole atmosphere ready to receive it, and then I can do it. It's amazing how God works. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He's telling Timothy, use your prophecies as weapons. And with these, do a good warfare. War against the ways of the enemy that would keep them from coming to pass. And keep declaring those prophecies that have been spoken. How many of you have had at least one or more personal prophecies been spoken of you through the years? Come and put your hands up. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when I ask you, raise your hands, and I don't think I'm a tricky kind of a person, but I feel like that you're looking at me like I'm afraid that you'll ask me to do something else if I raise my hand. No. No kidding. Just a simple question. And a big part of you just now raised your hand. That good. That means you're in a prophetic realm. You're a prophetic people. You know the prophetic is real, and God has spoken. It's been wonderful that God has given me so many prophetic words because I've needed them. I guess I have needed a lot of encouragement. It's like Judy said once, because everywhere I would go, especially back in the earlier days, they would pick me out to prophesy. They wouldn't give a word to anybody else, but they would pick me out. So we went to this meeting, and Judy had a question about this minister, whether he was for real or not. But he said, but then he picked Sue out to prophesy, so I figured he's probably okay. You can pick up, use your prophecies that you have. Now I'm talking to you personally. Those prophecies that you have, that have wonderful things spoken that God wants to do, do battle with the enemy that's trying to fight your progress in the will of God, and declare that these words say this. This is what Paul says to Timothy. This is what I'm saying to you today. To fight the good fight of faith. You know, the fight is not with the devil. The fight is a fight of faith. The fight's for you to keep the faith and keep declaring in faith. Well, let me finish right here. You remember, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Do you know this, that promises only come through prayer and intercession? Prayer and intercession is the atmosphere that causes them to grow. I'm going to say it again. Promises only come through prayer. They don't just happen because they're promises. Now, this could be a revelation to some of you. You never knew this before. Promises or prophecies only come through prayer, and intercession is the atmosphere that causes them to grow. Duncan Williams, I love his statement. He said, prayer is the womb that births the promises and prophecies of God. If you want to see the promises and the prophecies come to pass, you've got to get into prayer to get it to happen. Such promises and prophecies have been supporting words for me as I've walked through the battle where the enemy has tried to hinder me, especially in the last several years. Duncan Williams prophesied to me when we first met, you've been greatly embattled, but you will be even stronger now than you were before. A man in Trinidad prophesied to me, oh, by the way, it's been prophesied to me, and I'm sure the devil's disappointed about this, several times, that I will live a long life. But the man in Trinidad said, you will live a long life, and I'm bringing people for you to train who will learn in a few months what it has taken others years to learn. How many of you would like to be those people, to learn in a few months what it's taken others years to learn? Instead of just being church members, he prophesied, I'll raise up sons and daughters who will continue the destiny of your house. Sons and daughters, that means people that are in the family, born in Zion, really know and are dedicated and committed to it. And one from a prophet in the year 2010 said, the enemy has tried to take your life, but the Lord is extending your life. Because he has more work for you to do, the revelation you have will bring those who cannot step out of their place of entrapment on their own. You have walked through places that have given you an authority to speak. The Lord has given you the key to break death off of people, especially in their marriages, and the death that religion has spoken over this area. The Lord has given you the key to break that curse. You know, Peter Wagner said, religion, the spirit of religion is the greatest enemy in the church. Because that's what keeps people from being freed to hear what God says and to obey what God has said to them. So I wanted to just encourage you today. We've had a wonderful time of worship this morning. And I was just asking the Lord this morning as I was praying before the service, if God would encourage us and give us a new, very clear understanding and desire to be those that would intercede in such a powerful way that we could actually bring to birth the promises of what God has promised that he will do and what he wants to do in our midst. And I believe that he's right now in the process. God is in the process right now of doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. You may not be aware of it yet, but you want to be sure you be listening because you want to be a part of that. It's going to be very exciting what God is opening up for us. And simply what I wanted to get across this morning is the promises and the prophecies that God has made to this church that we anticipate to come into being very soon. the way to get those to come into being is that we intercede and that we proclaim and declare and release our faith. In other words, it's got to be prayed into being. It's never going to come. I feel sorry for people who think they can organize their way into having what they need to affect a ministry, because God is so much better at sending what can do the job the best. And I'm believing that God is going to give us just a fresh desire to be those people that can do that. Would you stand together? By the way, we got the rain that we've been asking the Lord for. We had some pretty good rain last night, and I understand that we're going to be getting some more. Because God hears and answers our prayers. And always remember, there's things God wants to do for us, but He's waiting for us to ask Him to do it. That's very clear in the Scripture, that He wants to hear from us. I want you to just bow your head in His presence a moment, because I feel like that today is one of those times where God is speaking something fresh to us, that He wants our ears to be open. He wants to encourage us, and He wants to show us how to take the next steps into where He wants us to go. I hear a fresh sound. I hear it in the Spirit. I hear it in the music. I hear it in the prophetic, that God is doing something fresh, and He wants to encourage your heart, but He wants you to be drawn into it. He wants you to see yourself as a player in this thing that He's doing in this hour. And I felt like that the Lord wanted me to pray for those of you who wanted to say, you know, I see this, and I want to make a commitment to give myself to pray this thing into being. Not to think that my prayers are just for me and what I need, but to understand I am called as an intercessor in this house to cause to come into being the large picture of the prophetic words that God has given. And if you saw that today and you want to say, I want to make a fresh commitment. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to empower me and fill me with new desire to be used in engaging with God to bring these things to pass. This is our next step, you know. This is our next step as a church. Give ourselves afresh and anew in prayer to engage with God to see these things come to pass. And God will lead us by His Spirit in how to do that if we'll give ourselves to do it. How many of you felt that you just want to say to God, and I want to just pray a covering prayer over you, Lord, I see this and I want to give myself to be a part of those who pray and who declare these things into being. I want to give myself afresh. Now just leave your hands up because I want to pray for you. Father, I thank You for these that have heard Your word today. Lord, we just don't want to just come to church and then go home. We want to do business with You. We want to touch You. We want to know that we've had a fresh, new experience with You. And so, Lord, we just lift our hands to You today and we just say, will You give me a fresh anointing and a fresh clarity of understanding? I want to step into a spiritual reality and move out of the mundane realm I've been living in. And I want to be a part with those who pray. Let the word of the Lord, the vision of this house that's been spoken here, let it come to pass. And let every need be met that will cause those things to happen. If it's concerning finances, if it's concerning people, if it's concerning the gifts of the Spirit, if it's concerning the revelation that will be breakthrough on our hearts from above, Lord, we just call on the name of the Lord today, and we say, let us be used in this. Anoint us, O God. Take the flesh deadness out of us that doesn't know how to pray or is not inspired. Just deliver us from all that, Lord, and put us into a place where we'll call on Your name and draw on Your mercy, and You'll take us into another realm of prayer because we want to see Your purposes birthed in this house. We declare it's time for a fresh birthing of Your purposes. Let the rest of these prophecies that have come over us now come to pass. These things that the prophets have seen, that our hearts bear witness with, yes, that is right. Then we say, Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. And give us the anointing to say, let it come into being. We thank You. We praise You. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you.